This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasuthi. Is training your dog becoming a drag? Well, slow progress making you really, really frustrated. Well, Rubini Marathian, she's a certified dog trainer, is back to share with me the secrets of stress-free dog training. Welcome to the show, Rubini, and does that even exist?
Yeah. Hi, Meera, nice to be back again.
And thank you, and that's why you're here.
Yes.
To prove to me that it will be as least painful as possible.
It is. Believe me, after you've heard what I've got to say, you'll be convinced.
You'll be encouraged. Okay. Let's just, before we go into the nitty-gritties of, dog training, Rubini, when do you think we even should bother training the dog? I mean, I love mine. She's a year and a half. I love her character. Yes, she's naughty. She chews on, slippers and whatever nots. There's all the naughty things on it. But getting better with age as she grows, do I really need to train her?
Well, I always liken dog training to sending your kids to kindergarten. If you feel that you need to actually teach your dog some basic manners, then I would say yes. So that's basically what this is. What dog training is all about, teaching your dog basic manners so that they're just easier to live with at home. At the end of the day, we have to see that a dog is an animal. And you can't just bring an animal into a human household and expect the dog to know exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what dog training is designed to do. It's designed to help you communicate to your dog what you want and for your dog to understand what you want from him as well.
Okay, if I go on the way I am, what are some of the challenges that I would face going forward? The fact that I did not train or am not interested to train my dog.
Well, one of the things that you probably face is that you probably never have a dog that stops chewing, for example.
Yeah, they grow out of it like children.
Well, puppy chewing what normally happens when the dog is young should grow out before the dog turns one. All right. Now, if you find that your dog is still chewing right after 1 year old or beyond that, you'll see that's a problem then. So, or for example, if you have a situation where your puppy likes to jump on you, and when the dog is small, it's okay, because you can manage that. Mm-hmm. But as the dog grows into a bigger dog, and the dog doesn't realize that jumping is not okay because of its size, how would you be able to explain that to your dog without having some sort of training or setting out some rules? Mm-hmm. So that's essentially what it is. It's about teaching your dog what you want and getting your dog to understand what you want as well at the same time.
Are there certain areas that you will focus on as a result? I mean, like you have, basic dog training, and then you have maybe the next level in higher. So the basics, what would you look at?
Well, the basics you would look at, just everyday commands that you would use on a daily basis. Things like sit, down, stay. Those are all commands that everyone uses with their dogs. So some people may not even be realizing that they're doing this, but 9 out of 10 times, a dog knows sit to some level. Mm-hmm. Or rather, I think that's usually what the first thing that we teach as well, teach your dog how to sit. Mm-hmm. It all depends on what the owners want at the end of the day. So a basic obedience course will give you some kind of guidelines in terms of commands. But if you want to take that a little bit further, then you would work with a trainer, or you yourself would teach your dog to do some additional things that are suited to your lifestyle and what you want from your dog.
Right. Are there different ways in which you can train a dog, or is it just a standard way?
Okay. If you're talking about training techniques, there are a variety of techniques out there. But the three most popular ones that we look at in dog training today are the traditional dog training method. Mm-hmm. Now, this one usually uses physical corrections to train your dog, and it usually employs the use of a choke chain.
Okay.
The second...
As opposed to the rotan, like we used it before.
Yes. Okay. The second training technique, I would say, would be the clicker training technique. Now, this is actually using a device called a clicker. It emits a clicking sound. And basically what that does is it indicates the dog that it has done something correct, and then it's followed by a reward or a praise. And then there is a reward-based system, which doesn't have the clicker system in there. It is just purely a reward-based, and it employs not just food, but toys, attention, all those kind of rewards that the dog usually loves.
And what do you normally go with ordinary people like me?
Okay, I use a combination of clicker training and reward-based training to help dogs. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on what the owners want. If you want just, you know, basic stuff, I usually use a reward-based training. And then some owners are a little bit more adventurous. They want to try something different. And personally, I like this method as well, the clicker training method, which is really a good experience for both the owner as well as the dog. It's purely positive reinforcement, and it uses the reward-based system together with the clicker.
Okay. Clickers are meaning real clickers you're talking about.
Yes, right? There is actually a special device that you can purchase which emits a very consistent sound. And the moment you click it, the dog, you can see the dog actually respond to it. It's actually quite fascinating.
Is it a very high-pitched sound, which, you know, it's sort of piercing to the dog's ear?
No, it's not at all a high-pitched sound. It's just... it's really difficult to describe, actually. It's just a very short... It's like as if you're hitting a metal piece to a plastic piece.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a dull sound, but it's very consistent.
Okay.
Yeah.
The most important aspects of training, what would that be? The focus.
Okay. What I would... For me, I personally believe that one of the most important things is to build and develop a relationship with your dog. Okay, and you can do this by having a very positive attitude. And also number two, which a lot of dog owners fail to do, is understanding your dog by learning how to read the dog's body language, by learning how to read signs of what happens, what your dog's reactions are. Mm-hmm. Those are things that I feel is lacking in a lot of dog owners today. And it's something that can exponentially help you to train your dog better.
Okay, so. And then that is to focus on the attitude as well as the real body language.
That's right.
Is what you're talking about.
Yes.
At what age should you start training your dog?
Oh, I like to start as early as possible.
No, let them grow up a bit.
I like to start as early as possible, mainly because I feel that when you have a really young dog, you have basically you're starting at a clean slate. You have no... outside influences, or rather the dog has not had the chance to develop any bad habits. So the earlier you start, the easier it becomes for you to train in the behaviors you want versus letting the dog sort of develop its own bad behaviors. And I'm saying this in inverted commas. If you wait too long, your dog tends to develop those undesired behaviors, and it becomes more difficult for you to train in the behaviors you want.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So the earlier the better is your mantra, really.
Yeah. So I mean, just to give you a number, I'm looking at about 8 to 12 weeks. We can start as early as that.
Wow. Yes. Okay. And can you do it yourself? Do we really need to hire someone like you? I know this probably affects your business, but should we attempt first?
Absolutely. I would say yes. If you have a general understanding of how it works, I would say go for it. You know, give it a shot first and see how you go. A lot of students, or all of my students that I meet, most of them have learned some kind of basic. Like I said, the sit is usually the first thing that everyone teaches their dog. Mm-hmm. And 9 out of 10 dogs that I go see already know this.
Oh, no, don't come to my house. She has no idea what sit is.
I'm sure she will know.
That's why I haven't called you. I'm too embarrassed.
Don't worry. Like I said, 9 out of 10 dogs. Maybe you're just one. Okay. So, most of them have learned that at some stage, or rather, people get very excited when they see their dog sit. So, and then if you come to a stumbling block, or you can come to a stage where you're like, oh, I don't know what else I can teach my dog, mm-hmm. that's when you can call in a trainer. Or even if you have any problems that you want to solve, like, you know, like I mentioned earlier, a jumping problem or digging, chewing, those kind of things, and you have no clue how to stop it, mm-hmm. That's a great reason to call a trainer in.
Okay, just to go through some negatives or some misconceptions, which mm-hmm. are mistakes that we make when we try and train our own dogs. I remember the last time you spoke to me about how we tend to, how dogs respond to just one, two words, mm-hmm. whereas we tend to talk to them,
yes.
Thinking that they understand, and they almost look convincing, like yes. they do understand what you're saying,
yes.
but fact is they don't.
They don't, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they associate words, or rather actions, with behavior. So what you will see is usually one word is associated with one behavior, and we like to keep it as simple as that. See, the dog's mind trains very simply. So if you use one word for one behavior, that's basically what the dog will learn. Instead, if it's sit, then the dog will automatically sit whenever you say the word sit, because you repeat it enough times and you have associated that behavior with that word.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So don't have long words to, you know, yeah, when you're training your dog.
No, you'd want to keep it as short as possible. Even if the word that you choose is long, it sort of makes a difference as well. So you want, instead of saying, you know, come, if you're saying, hello, dear, please come here. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it becomes a very lengthy conversation with the dog. And essentially what the dog wants is, give me one word to tell me what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it a lot easier for both yourself as well as for the dog.
Okay, we're discussing how to make dog training fun with Rubini Marutian. When we come back, we'll discuss more about how long it really takes to train your dog, what are some of the best tools that you may need, and when really do you need to call in a dog trainer. If you have a question for her, send us a text message 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it's The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasuthi, Rubini Marutian in the studio with me, certified dog trainer. We're discussing how to make dog training easy and fun. You know, Rubini, Caesar Milan makes it look like he's almost got superpowers. Mm-hmm. And you almost feel like you need to have superpowers to train your dog. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
It's not, actually. It's very surprising. I mean,
it's not his fault. It's just the perception that people have.
It is. I mean, if you see, at the end of the day, I believe that we all have been given the same opportunity. So we can see from what he does that it's possible. And I think part of the battle, or rather the main part of the battle, is the mindset. The first thing that I always encounter with a lot of dog owners is, oh, I can't do it, it's too hard. Take that out of your mind. It's not too hard. The moment you have in your mind that it's possible, that's when things start to fall into place. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest challenge that I have also with a lot of dog owners, you know, having them believe that they can do it. Just like Caesar, just like I can do it. You know, everyone can do it. It's just that whether you believe you can or not.
Right. How long of our time do we need to invest in all of this?
You know, my answer to this is going to be surprising to a lot of people, but if you are employing the right techniques, and if you're doing and you're being very consistent, you don't need more than 5 to 10 minutes a day. And if you're being very consistent, you know, every day, just put it in as part of your daily routine with your dog. Say you have to walk your dog, you have to feed your dog. Those are all normal everyday things that you do with your dog. Make training part of your normal everyday routine with your dog, mm-hmm. and it becomes easy.
Okay. Yeah. So if you were to invest 5-10 minutes
yes.
every day, how long will that take before the dogs actually start to understand that there's something here that's going on that they need to, you know, be consistent with?
Yes. Every dog is different. Okay. Just like humans, every dog is different in their own way. But if you're, and to me, training with a dog is actually an ongoing process. The dog will actually learn from you every single day. If you train it for the entire, for its entire lifespan, the dog will learn something new if you teach it every day. So my answer to that question is, it depends on the individual dog. But if you're talking about training in particular commands, okay, it can take anything between a few minutes to a few days to a few weeks. So it's, like I said, it's dependent on the individual dog. So it's hard to say in terms of timing.
Do you need any particular tools? Do you need tools during training?
Well, the basic tools that we use are actually quite standard, and most people already have them as dog owners.
Mm-hmm.
A good collar, a leash, some delicious treats, and you're ready to go. That's it.
Some delicious treats. That's interesting. You have always said you're in favor of positive reinforcement training,
yes.
to physical or emotional punishment. How does this reduce the stress of the owner?
Well,
because I can imagine, in order to inflict physical or emotional punishment, you got to be pretty stressed out yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly the point that I was going to make. So usually when you're kind of enforcing some kind of punishment, it usually comes with frustration within yourself as well. And if you repeatedly have this frustration, there is stress, undoubtedly. So when you, on the flip side of this, when you see that your dog is doing well and you're doing training in an easy and fun way, using very positive ways and making your sessions short, you actually send out these positive and happy vibes, not just to yourself, but to your dog as well. And then the dog reciprocates by doing really well. And at the end of the day, everybody wins. So it's all about choosing the right technique to make everybody happy, yourself as well as the dog.
Okay, we have a question here. Wouldn't the dog expect a reward every time then if you train it with the reward system?
No, the beauty of... it's a good question, actually. It's a beauty of positive reinforcement training is you... When you start training, when you're training new behaviors in, we use the rewards as a motivator. Now, part of doing this, using this technique or employing this technique is actually teaching the dog to wean off the rewards as well. So a lot of people fail to do that. They get to the part where the dog learns the behavior and then they fail to wean off the treats at the end. And that's when your dog becomes fully reliant on the treats.
So you need to wean them off,
yes,
is the moral of the
yes.
story. Another question. I have 5 dogs, all of them of different breeds, and the dogs fight really badly. The Spitz would fight with the Shih Tzu, and the Golden Retriever would, attack, the whatever dog by the neck. And this person has actually hired a trainer before, but nothing has helped.
I see.
5 different breeds.
That's a lot. That's a lot of dogs, yes. It's a lot of dogs for anyone to handle. My answer to that would be, if you want, you have to come back to the basics, basically. We have to address the situation based on each individual dog. Obviously, there is actually a bigger problem that lies behind her situation. So, maybe she can give me a call and then I can go and help.
Of course. We'll find out how to get in touch with you. Your
yes.
email address, Rubini?
doggonegoodtraining@live.com.
That's doggonegoodtraining.
That's right. It's all one word, doggonegoodtraining, yes.
Fantastic. One more question. This person recently got a 6-month-old poodle by the name of Oreo. Oreo is kept in the house and they're having toilet training issues where, Oreo keeps doing his business wherever he pleases. What should we do? And that's, I think, the basics of your training.
It's one of the first things that we train. That's the reason why I say start early, 8 to 12 weeks. The moment you have your puppy, you don't have to wait until 6 months to toilet train your dog.
But to be fair, Oreo was given to them at
okay.
6 months.
Okay. Okay. So, obviously, they didn't have the chance to train it much earlier. But right now, at this stage, what you want to do is actually get into a system, a toilet training system straight away. Pick one and stick to it. The problem with a lot of owners is they tend to pick one and then they swap in between. Mm-hmm. Like when they realize that, this is not working, I move into something else. And then they keep changing the system until the dog is so confused. Like it goes back to the initial principle that I told you before. One word, one behavior. One action, one behavior. So if you keep changing, the dog gets confused and in the end you lose track of what's happening.
Right. So be consistent.
Be consistent, exactly.
Okay. What are other ways of reducing stress and frustration while training a dog?
Well, my number one rule in all of this is when you start training, always be in a good mood. If you know that you're not in a good mood on that day, don't even attempt it, because the dogs can feed off the energy that you're emitting. Mm-hmm. And once the dog picks up on that, I kid you not, they know exactly when this happens and they will test you even more.
Right.
And that just escalates the situation in terms of frustration levels and inconsistency and all those sort of things. So if you don't feel good on that day or if you're not up to it, don't do it altogether.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else?
There are other things, but I would say this would be the main thing.
Okay. Yeah. It's your frame of mind
That's
is what
right.
you should be thinking of.
Exactly.
How does treating them make training more fun?
Ah, okay.
Well, it's a pressure on the wallet every time a treat goes out.
Well, yes and no. It treats make it more fun because it motivates your dog to hang around you, or rather be around you and want to get what you are dispensing. Now, I always tell all my dog owners this, is it don't take it as you have to buy expensive treats. You don't. You can actually use anything that you eat that's human quality. So even if you boil up a piece of chicken and you cut it up into really small, tiny pieces and dispense it, that can be a treat mm-hmm. as well. So it doesn't have to be a strain on your wallet. It just has to be really delicious to your dog. And the great thing about this is every dog has their own special treat. So it's not a cookie cutter formula there that this one treat will be great for every dog. Mm-hmm. So you as a dog owner need to actually identify what is that favorite treat of your dog and use that for the most effective results. Mm-hmm. So like I'll give you an example. I have a student who actually loves carrots. This dog actually prefers carrots to chicken, which is actually very rare. But, you know, it happens.
That is really weird.
It is.
Well, was he a rabbit in his last life?
Could have been. I don't know. But, so this just goes to show that you don't need to actually spend, you know, hundreds of ringgit every month on treats. If you can just pick up some carrots at your local market and cut it up for your dog, you know. So it's up to you to find what that special treat is for your dog, and you can actually train very effectively with that.
But how do you avoid over-treating during the training period?
Okay, it's if you follow the rule of like 5 to 10 minutes per session, chances are you won't over-treat. So if you're already sticking to that time limit, you leave the dog wanting more. So you never feed the dog until the dog is totally full. Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so only that short period of time.
Yes.
10 minutes or so. So in a day, is there an ideal time to actually train your dog?
Always before the meal. So you, like I said, because you're using a treat system or reward-based system, you want to make sure that you're feeding your dog, or rather rewarding your dog when he's most motivated. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it's usually before meals.
Okay.
So if you're, like I said, if you're planning it as part of the daily schedule, you would do exercise, train, and then feed.
Okay. And you know, sometimes, Rubini, doing it consistently, and that's coming through a fair bit as you speak, is sometimes we get frustrated, or sometimes we're just plain lazy to, you know, carry on with this chore. What if I skip a day or two? Will that affect?
No, it won't actually. If you're being consistent all along, if you're following, you know, a certain schedule, like I said, if you've already put it in as part of your dog's daily schedule, then if you're having an off day, like I said, don't train. It's fine. You can miss a day or two and it won't affect the entire system. You just have to go back to exactly what you were doing before and you'll be all right.
Okay. Are some breeds harder to train than the others?
Yes. Unfortunately, yes, they are. And this is generally made because of the breed characteristics. So, for example, if you were to compare a Chow Chow to a Labrador Retriever, you'll find that a Labrador Retriever is way easier to train compared with a Chow Chow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all usually dependent on the inherent characteristics of the individual breeds.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if the dog isn't really not making much progress after a couple of weeks, Rubini, I mean, do we still persevere or is something wrong?
It could be something wrong, but the first thing that I always ask people to do is check yourself. Are you doing the right things? Are you using the right techniques? Are you using the right treats? Or are you pushing your dog too far? So once you have already checked off all those boxes and you realize it's none of that, then you would want to maybe call in a professional to come and help you.
Okay. What would you recommend for owners who, you know, don't really, are not as patient, speak for myself actually, who are not as patient and, you know, we get very impatient.
Yes.
How do you deal with that? The dog probably have to train us, actually. It's possibly going to be a two-way training session.
Yes. Well, the best thing, like I said, if you get very easily frustrated, then this rule of 5 to 10 minutes a day would suit you best. Because you'll be the person who will be like, okay, I only have 5 minutes, you know, I can do whatever, I will do whatever I need to do within this 5 minutes and then it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you have a situation where you, like I said, if you're really frustrated, you're having an off day, then don't train.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. You can always pick it up again tomorrow.
Okay. So, and ideally during this training period, should just one person take on the role of training in the home? Because you would have kids coming in and, you know, trying their thing. Husband coming in and trying his thing, right?
Yes.
So, how do you maintain that consistency? Or would you suggest that just one person take charge for a couple of weeks?
I always believe that training your dog should be a family thing. I mean, everybody in your household should be as involved as possible. So if you don't find the time to get everybody together, maybe you can just pass on the communication as consistently as possible. A good example is I had a student with a Rottweiler and her granddaughter, actually, she was 4 years old at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And she could give the dog commands.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can only think of the energy that's being emitted.
Exactly. No, she was actually a very calm little girl, like for a 4-year-old. She was very calm and relaxed. And she actually, and it's so funny to see because her height is almost the same height as the dog. But it was quite magical to watch, you know, like a four-year-old giving commands to a huge Rottweiler, and he was completely obeying her.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it happens. As you said, it's your state of mind.
Exactly.
And how you carry through. Another question, I don't know whether you can answer it. Very interesting, you know, makes me laugh. This person says, I once scolded my dog for sleeping through a break-in. Subsequently, she barked ferociously at the next attempt. What's your say? Is that a coincidence?
It could have been. There's actually a lot more to that. I'm sure there's a lot more to that story than what she's just told us. But it could be a variety of factors, you know. Like, there are certain things that could have triggered the bark afterwards for the subsequent event versus the previous event where maybe the dog did not get triggered by anything. So it could be a variety of reasons. It's really hard to give a solid answer to that. But, good for her that the dog's protecting the house now.
Is there any way by default or, you know, without me realizing that I could actually pass on contradicting signals or being inconsistent with the training, the 5 or 10 minute training sessions that I would have with the dog?
Like I told you earlier, there is chances, of course, as humans, we can't help but be inconsistent sometimes. But if you make mistakes along the way, it's okay. It's okay to make a few mistakes. But just keep in mind that you have made those mistakes and try not to repeat them. That would be my best advice to you.
Okay. And for future dog owners who really should be prepared for the amount of training that they'll need to do before they actually decide to get a dog, what words of advice would you have? Or, you know, would you like to warn them for those of them who are actually thinking of getting a dog? There is a huge amount of investment, not in terms of monetary-wise, but as well as in terms of your own effort.
Yes. Like I told you earlier, I feel it's not about the time that you need. It's not if you're just following the rule of 5 to 10 minutes a day, you don't need to take so much time. But the important thing is that people need to know that they actually have to do it. So the concept of dog training is actually, I feel, very foreign to many. People even think that it's a luxury. So to me, I feel if you train your dogs early and you're consistent, and if you can actually get so much better results, you actually have good consequences at the end of the day. You actually have a well-behaved dog who you can interact with and bond with throughout your training as well. So, you know, take it as something necessary, as part of owning a dog, as something that that is necessary to do, rather than how much time you need to spend.
Do you find people more open to the whole idea of dog training now?
These days, yes, I believe there's actually a change in mindset, which is a good thing. And over time, I hope that it will improve even more.
Okay. How do we get in touch with you, Rubini?
Okay, you can send me an email at doggonegoodtraining@live.com.
Thank you very much for joining me today. Rubini Marothian, certified dog trainer, on how to make dog training easy and fun on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.